Today is April 2nd, and yesterday was April Fool's Day. Any of you get any good April Fools? You know, that's something we used to do. Do you got one? Decent one? Good. Here's one that came across the emails to me yesterday in the way of April Fool's Day. And it's entitled, An Atheist Holiday. In Florida, an atheist became incensed over the preparation for Easter and Passover holidays and decided to contact the local ACLU and declare that there was a discrimination, that atheists didn't have a holiday to celebrate. Christians and Jews have holidays, but atheists didn't have a holiday to celebrate. The ACLU jumped on the opportunity at once, picked up the cause for the godless, and decided to assign their sharpest attorneys to the case. The case was brought before a wise judge who, after listening to a long and passionate presentation by the ACLU lawyers, promptly banged his gavel and said, "Case dismissed." The lead lawyer immediately stood to his feet, ejected the ruling, and said, "Your Honor, how can you possibly dismiss this case? Surely, with Christians having Christmas and Easter and all these other observances, and the Jews with having Passover and Yom Kippur and Hanukkah, and yet my client and the atheists have no such holiday." The judge leaned forward on his chair and simply said, "Obviously, your client is too confused to know about it. For as a matter of fact, they celebrate an atheist holiday every year." The ACLU lawyer promptly said, "We are aware of no such holiday for atheists. Just when do you think this might be, Your Honor?" And the judge said, "Well, it comes every year at exactly the same date, April 1st. The fool says in his heart, there is no God." So, that was the best one I got yesterday. I also have April 1st as an anniversary date. A year ago today, committed 3 years to the church to try to develop a church, see what God would do. And it was a really simple concept. Hopefully, God's life through me, your life with Him would be richer. And secondly, we'd learn to love each other better. And so this is the beginning of year two at a three-year project to see what God will do. And as we look forward to God doing those things, grab your bulletin, and on the back of it, it has a passage in Leviticus 23, verses 6 through 8. And today we're going to talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The month of April is dedicated to understanding the feasts of Israel. So when Uncle Donnie's planning on springing Testimony Day on you, it won't be till May, folks. And so we'll wait till all the guests are not here at Easter to spring that on them. And it'll probably be one of those things that springs on you with at least a week's notification so you're prepared or you can hide, whatever the case may be. But we're going to talk about the feasts of Israel, and the concept that I was thinking on as I read through some interesting books on Passover and feast, and this one I wanted to give to Denise to give to her mom to read. She's probably got time in the hospital to read those things. But I've got a number of books that I've been reading about the feasts of Israel, and I'm thinking this way, that God's economy working with mankind is going to work from the Jewish perspective, not the Gentile perspective. God's contracts and commitments are to the Jews. Now, we Gentiles who have become born again and entered into that have the benefit of being grafted into that family. But I don't think he's going to work on the Gentile calendar. I think he's going to work on the Jewish calendar. And so I've been looking at these feasts and trying to understand what God was doing in these things. Next week, I'm going to talk about Passover, which is the first of the feasts. Today, I'm going to talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because the first Sunday of the month, we do communion, which is a remembrance of that Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then we'll talk about the Feast of First Fruits and then the Feast of Weeks. There's four feasts in the spring of the year. These are called the spring feasts, and they all come really fast. And what I'm going to try to do is take the historical feasts and explain to you what God was trying to teach us about the Son, Jesus Christ. And then there's three feasts that come in the fall of the year. And when it gets to be the fall of the year, harvest time, I'll talk about them. But they're the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. Those three feasts are yet to be accomplished. And I have this thought, and it's Wilmer's thought, it's not out of the books, but there's four seasons of the year. There's winter, and then there's spring, and then there's summer, and then there's autumn, right? That's kind of the way it works. And we live in an agricultural community. God's feasts are based on an agricultural community. There's a time of winter, there's a time of spring. The spring feasts are the ones we're going to look at right now. Then there's a time of summer, which I believe is the age of grace that you and I get to live in, the age of the church, the time for us to develop in a way that when harvest time comes, autumn, when Jesus comes back again, that we're ready. But the three feasts of the autumn aren't fulfilled yet. But Jesus has fulfilled all of these, and he fulfilled the unleavened bread, and that's what I hope that you come away with at the end of the day. So let's take a look at Leviticus 23, verses 6 through 8, and this is what the Bible says. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. On the seventh day, you shall present offerings by fire to the Lord. And on the seventh day, you shall have another holy convocation, and you shall not do any laborious work. So there's the outline of the feast. So as you look at your outline, what was the point of the feast? Why did God set up all of these feasts? He wanted to help his children remember. That's your blank, is remember. He wanted his children to remember things. And he wanted them to practically understand prophecy that was going to come in the future as well. So, if you wanted somebody to remember something, what's the best way to do it? Would you write them a book? Would you draw them a picture? Would you have a reenactment of that? Which of those things do you think would be the best way to remember? Well, God chose them all. He wrote them in a book. He painted the picture for you, and he had them every year reenact these events so that their children would remember these facts. Sadly, the Jewish people got into the traditions and the habit patterns of doing things rather than staying with the relationship. Now, your next question is, what's another name for this meal? Does anybody know another name for the unleavened bread meal? We did one a year ago. Passover was yesterday. Today starts unleavened bread. And an unleavened bread meal is called a Seder meal. I think, oh yeah, I knew that one. And it's a Seder meal. And I think it's spelled S-E-D-A-R. E-R. S-E-D-E-R. It's a Seder meal. It's a special meal. It's a different meal than all others. Now, next week we'll talk about Passover, but basically, Passover took care of the problem of sin. And I'll explain that in detail. But then, after you've been atoned, after you have the new life, what is it that we're supposed to do? And this whole process of Seder was designed by God to do that. Now, does anybody know the Jewish month that it's celebrated? What is this month? Anybody know what it is? It's Nisan. Nisan. I don't know if that's where they got the car or not. N-I-S-A-N. Nisan. Now, how many of you realize that the Jews have two calendars? You know that? You know the major difference that we use a solar calendar as Gentiles, and Jews use a lunar calendar. You realize that already, right? You remember that from me explaining that before. They go by the moon, but they have two calendars. They have a religious calendar and a civil calendar. And this month, actually Friday, was the first day of the first month of the year in the religious calendar. But they have a civil calendar that the first day of that starts in September. They have two calendars. One, I mean, they have a really good separation of church and state. They even have two calendars for church and state. So, in the Jewish world, you would have two birthdays. You would have a physical birthday and a spiritual birthday. Now, my dad, one of the unique things that he has in his life is he got to pick his own birthday. I mean, you knew that. Marilyn and I are probably the only ones who knew that. When my dad came back from World War II and wanted to buy a house, they said, well, we need a birth certificate. And he said, well, I don't have one. So he went to the courthouse and got a birth certificate. And they said, well, what day were you born? He looked at his witnesses and they said, well, it was really hot. So it was in the summer. So he picked the longest day of the year for his birthday so he could have the biggest, longest party. Do you realize that Passover really means party all night? In the Hebrew, that's what Passover means. We party all night on Passover. Anyway, my dad picked his own birthday, picked the longest day of the year. Now, is that really the day he's born? I don't know. Nobody else does either, so he got to pick his own birthday. So he has two birthdays. He actually has a factual birthday of the day he was actually born and the day he celebrates it. Now, I tell you this because one of the points that I'm going to bring to you in just a minute is kind of unusual, maybe to you. But when you look at what other major events happened on this day, and Julie put 1, 2, 3, 4 on your outline. I didn't have 1, 2, 3, 4 on there, but Julie put 1, 2, 3, 4 on there for you. The first major event is, according to Hebrew tradition, today is the day the world was born. Did you know that this was the day God created the world? Spring. According to Hebrew tradition, this month, this day was the day God made the world. Now, whether that's right or not, but that's what the Hebrew scholars tell me. And then the second point is an interesting one. You probably didn't know this, but according to Hebrew scholars, today is Jesus' birthday. Did you realize that Christmas is not, it's the day we celebrate it, but according to Jewish history, it's not the day he was born. He was actually born and buried on the same day, which is your fourth one. He was born, number two, on this day, and your fourth one is he was buried on his birthday. Now, they did that based on Zechariah. Zechariah the priest was someone that they can calculate the exact day and go back from there to the day he went home, to the day John the Baptist was conceived. And then, you know, I don't know how women figure these all out, but 9 months later, they know a day that a baby's supposed to come. Well, anyway, the Jewish kids have that figured out too. And then, you know, there's a mathematical factor that they used to figure that out. But they say that today was the day Jesus was born. And we know today was the day Jesus was buried on the calendar because it was a part of the feasts. And the third one is this was the day that the Jewish people were led out of Egypt. That was the other part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is they were set free through Passover, through the death of the firstborn son. They were set free and today's the day they moved out. So when we look at this holiday and we look at the symbolism of it all, I tried to make it really simple on the bottom of your outline that spring is a time of new life. It's a time of new start. How many of you have noticed that? April showers bring May flowers, don't they? It's a time of new life. It's a time of new start. The time of unleavened bread is a time of new starts. How many of you know that this festival is where spring cleaning came from? You girls that want to do spring, Lori knew that. Spring cleaning came from unleavened bread. Because this festival, the wives had to completely clean their house of leaven. Now, we'll have unleavened bread when we have communion, but this is actually leavened bread. Here. This is leavened bread. And what does unleavened mean? Read your outline and it says what? No yeast. This one has yeast in it. What does yeast mean in the Bible? Sin. What does sin do? It puffs up makes us prideful. It puffs us up the same way yeast puffs up bread. Now, this has been out of a sack for a while, but it's still soft and moist. And when you take the unleavened bread, it's not soft and moist. It's crusty because it doesn't have any yeast. So what's the point of purging the unleavened? What's the point of house cleaning in the spring? The Jewish moms had to clean all of the yeast out of the house for a week. And how they get around throwing it all away is they pay their neighbor to keep it for them, who's not a Jew, until the feast is over. And then they bring it all back. But they pay the next door neighbor, will you keep all my yeast and keep all this stuff for me? Right? But the point of the feast was cleansing of sin. After Jesus took our sin upon him, we were cleansed from it. And then afterwards, what are we supposed to do? The conclusion is we're supposed to come to worship him, come to honor him, come to thank him, and to think about repentance in our lives. Because all of us have things to clean out in our life. Now, in the process of doing unleavened bread within the Jewish home, there's a unique festival that they've come up with, an act of it, that the wife hides several pieces of leaven in the house, and she tells the husband where they are. And then the husband and the children go with a wooden spoon and a feather to find the leaven, and the dad pretends like he doesn't know where it is. Now, some of you have ever seen me with my grandson. I pretend with Joshua all the time. And the father pretends like he doesn't know where it is, but the wife's already clued him in. And what he does is when he finds it, he says, "Aha! We found it." And the kids go, "Aha, Daddy, we found it." And then he takes the spoon and the feather and he sweeps the leaven onto the spoon. He doesn't touch it. He uses the feather to do it, and then he takes his spoon and he wraps it up in a linen and he takes it outside his home and sets it outside, and the next morning he takes it to the temple and burns it up. Offerings by fire. Do you remember that? Now here's the symbolism. Jesus, on his wooden cross, took our sin. And how did it get there? Did anybody give it to him? No, it was the moving of the Spirit that swept it in there. His willingness to take our sin on the cross, and then it's wrapped up and it's burned up, meaning he went to hell and took our punishment for us so that we could be involved in the process of repentance into understanding all of the great things that he's done for us. That's the symbolism. And so when we look at cleaning sin out of our life, is it to make us sinless? It's no, it's because of what he's done for us. See, most of us took a shower or a bath before we came to church today, right? And it wasn't because we were absolutely filthy. It was just because it's morning and you take a shower in the morning before you go to church, right? As I was doing the breakfast dishes, there was a cat sitting outside my window licking off her feet. And I thought, isn't that biblical? She was all clean. She just needed to wash her feet, and then she was ready to go to church. You know? We need to clean all the time. Not because we need to re-crucify Jesus. No, but because of the process, we want to be more clean, more pure with him. See, the problem with my computer and the projector isn't that I have a computer that doesn't work. Because it does. It's not because the projector doesn't work. It does work. The problem is the two aren't communicating to each other. And I can make the remote flip all the slides on my computer, but the projector is just sitting there with a white light like the... It's not picking up the signal. There's radio waves all around us right now. AM, FM, all kinds of radio waves going around them. But you don't have the transceiver to pick them up. You're not connected. See, this process of repentance and purification is we're connecting with God so that what's in us already and what he wants to project, we've made the connection so we can project that to the world. Julie and I went to bed last night, and she said, you know, I bet you there's thousands and thousands of people who lay their head on the bed and think, there's no place where somebody loves me. Nobody loves me. This is a place where people love you. I love you. You know, in being in love with Jules, I don't always communicate that so well. And with you, I don't always communicate that so well. But I do, and he does. So, as I ask the... I got some older guys to help me do communion, if they'll come up. I let the young guys gather the money, and the older guys get to do the communion thing. So... each one of you take a piece of this unleavened bread, grab a glass of wine, and then we'll take them together.